It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Hi guys. So this is a mystery episode. It also went a little weird on the computer at the end. I think we're okay, but like after about 59 minutes from now, it just like cuts out or something. So you still get an hour, and I think it's clear and everything. Just at the end, it gets weird. So I'm just preparing you that when it suddenly stops, that's what's going on. And you're still going to have the closing music and stuff at the end, so you'll know it's over. Just don't be surprised that it's very abrupt. All right. And good luck to everyone. All right. Here we go, then.
Okay.
So, welcome, won't you? Hello. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat podcast. The only podcast that is not for real Americans. It's for imaginary Americans. If you're from places other than America, you can also enjoy, provided you also are imaginary. Otherwise, get out. I'm Tony.
And I'm William.
Your microphone's louder than me. Why do you always get the louder microphone?
I don't know.
That's odd. Because he's evil like that. William didn't mention he's in fact evil. William and I am in fact evil. Tony. You can hear the goatees. Because those other bastards couldn't be bothered to show up. What is this?
I'm not even
what
surprised
the hell is
anymore.
This? I don't even.
What's the matter?
This is I do not know this book. I do not know how this book showed up. That's weird. I know the author. Okay. For those of you just joining us, we have a hat. It's magical in that it has its own email address. TheMagicalTalkingHat@gmail.com. Once again, that's TheMagicalTalkingHat@gmail.com. Operators are standing by. People, possibly like yourselves, I don't know. I don't know you. I'm not going to judge you. I am judging you in my head, but on the air, I'm not going to judge you in this particular respect. But people who may or may not be you, write into that email address. Little comments, questions, topics, things like that. The hat, all on its own, magically transmogrifies those emails into little note cards with the information from the email written on them that manifest physically within the hat. Two guys who are absolutely not us. Different guys. Not us. Draw them out of the hat. Randomly. Read them on the air. Talk about them until they are bored. Do that for about an hour. That's the normal show. However,
but
every once in a while,
yeah, sometimes
we're stuck doing it.
Because they're sick or can't
stupid
get to where they're going or
they're stupid.
Yeah, they're not.
Called on account of being stupid.
Yeah, they're not very bright. Well, I don't know.
So we're from a different universe.
The other Tony seems okay. It's that other William. It's kind of
like
embarrassing.
The other Tony.
Kind of embarrassing how dumb he is.
And most, what I most dislike about both of them is that they're absolutely not us.
Yeah.
They're absolutely not us pretending that we're other people.
I know.
I hate that.
I do too.
I hate when people do that.
Me too.
I hate when people don't pretend to be. Wait, what? I've gotten confused. Anyway, yeah, so we step in when they're too stupid to record.
And they call it a mystery episode, as I understand it.
Because they have no idea where we are.
Right. They don't know what's going on. They just know they couldn't do it, and the hat has its mysterious ways.
And we would gloat, but we have no idea what's going on either.
Hey.
Even though we're different people.
Do you think that we're always the ones that fill in, or maybe some other alternate universe versions of us fill in sometimes?
I think if other people fill in, then they basically don't record any episodes, because we fill in a lot.
Hmm. You know what I would think would be really interesting?
Is if, I do not.
Okay. What if we could go over to that alternate universe and listen to all the mystery episodes for two reasons. One, to see if they're all us.
Yeah.
And if they're not all us, if they're other versions of the us's, if there's any universe where we're women. That might be interesting to listen to.
So
maybe we'd have a different perspective.
I think my voice would be deeper.
Yeah, well, okay. But I'm talking about something other than that.
All right. So currently we say they're good Tony and William, and we're evil Tony and William. You're saying we have to split this further, and we have to say they are good male Tony and William.
Well, I think up to now that's gone without saying.
And we are evil male Tony and William.
Right. But for example, if I don't know, maybe they've got a good and or evil female Tony and William. Maybe they've got a version of Tony and William that live in France, and you aren't going to understand the podcast unless you speak French. I mean, who knows?
Maybe they have a version of Tony and William that live in France. You're not going to understand the podcast unless you speak Japanese. Not because they speak Japanese, but just because you won't understand it unless you do.
Anything's possible.
I don't think much of this is possible.
Hey, you know what? That's making me think of something else. What if...
What if?
I'm
your hype man.
The podcasts are split up among all kinds of alternate versions. So, like... They only do it every once in a while. We fill in for them sometimes, but someone else is filling in for them all the other time. And they maybe only get together like once a year maybe to do the podcast, and every other alternate version of them is filling in all the other weeks.
Oh, that would be so awesome if they only had to see each other once a year.
Yeah, but we're seeing each other more than once a year, so.
I know. That's how I know it would be awesome.
Yeah, right. So my theory's probably not. You're good. Oh, well.
For those of you just joining us.
I thought you already did this part.
Help me.
You were just going to explain the hat?
No, I just...
Oh.
People started, 8 minutes into the episode. Save me. So how was your lifetime? So far. Spoiler alert, you die at the end.
Are you
sure? Know
that?
No, you know that's our thing, right?
Yes, I know.
William spoilers.
How was it? It was good. I mean, we had...
Got a little slow in the middle.
We have that...
felt longer than it was.
We're just coming out of a festival season.
We had to pee.
And...
We are?
Yeah. Well, did you miss it?
What kind of festival?
Tony, where have you been? It every year, this time of year, we have festival season. It was all last week. Last 2 weeks,
every
actually.
Universe, well, I just sit around and play video games.
I say last 2 weeks, but I mean the first week is kind of sort of getting prepared for the
and
second week.
They're metric weeks, so it's not the same
Yeah,
way.
So, but every single year.
Every single year.
Now that you... mention it, I don't think I've ever really asked you about it before. Because I've never seen you there.
No.
Because we don't go together.
In every universe, I also don't like people, so. So, yeah, let's say, explain it to the listeners.
Explain what?
Whatever the fuck it is you're talking about.
Well, everybody knows what festival season is. I don't have to explain it to anybody.
Well, we've established I don't.
Yes, you do. You just don't remember because you've never done it. You've probably heard about it in school.
Well, explain it.
You probably thought it was just something that these weird kids over here do, but not everybody else
does. Yeah, now knowing that you do it, I stand by that belief.
Well, I guess I thought everybody did it. I don't know.
Because you're a weird kid. Should we get the hat?
What's that?
Should we get the hat?
Yes, yes, that's what we're here for.
It's magical. Doesn't talk.
No, yeah, yeah.
Festival season. When the olives turn black on the tree.
It's really noisy. I mean, probably around here. There's probably a parade over here. And you didn't hear that?
I snore really loud. So really, it always sounds like there's a parade at my house.
But you know, that's... Okay, now that you ask about it, though, how would I explain it to someone who doesn't know anything about it? It's just something...
Clearly you would not.
Well, it's just something we do every year around this time. I'm not even sure why. I don't know how it really started. It was probably a religious thing at first, you know?
I feel like you just got high last week, and now you're turning it into an annual tradition.
No. Okay, make fun if you want to, but...
I am.
I'm not the weird one here. Everyone else is out celebrating, and you apparently are oblivious.
I don't see them.
Well, I'm sorry you missed it, because it was actually pretty awesome this year.
Ooh. Did Steve Gutenberg show up?
No, but, you know, there are free concerts all over the place. And,
Are they evil concerts? Are the concerts wearing goatees?
Yeah.
Just checking. Totally different people.
What is wrong with you? What's happened? How come you don't seem to know what's going on?
I wondered if that would work. Ladies and gentlemen, I just did a sight gag.
Seems like you've been replaced just by somebody else.
To mess with William.
Anyway.
No, same. No, wait, I am different. No, God, I've lost track of what I'm saying. Like 2 years ago, William drew something out of the hat. Do you want to tell us what it says?
It's from nobody in particular. Anonymous, I guess.
Nobody knows the person who wrote it.
Would you like to be immortal?
Nobody knows but Ezzy.
I think this must be a typo. Would you like to be immortal?
Why do you think that?
Because it doesn't make any sense. It should be asking, you know, would you like to not be immortal? Because we are immortal, obviously. So the real question is, if we could not be immortal, would we, like, opt out of it?
This is going to sound like a joke or something, but this is actually a question I struggle with. Well, struggle's the wrong word. I ponder. Because I don't really consider it an actual viable option, you know? But in terms of what if, this is something I've thought about a lot, I don't have a clear answer. Because television and movies and stuff always have a very specific image of how immortality works. Of like, you know, eventually you get jaded or you get bored and, you know, everybody you know dies and and I'm like, that could totally be a thing. But on the other hand, the other option is not living. And I'm less in favor of that, I suppose. So I've always not been sure how I would answer that. I guess the answer is no, I would not want to be immortal. But I'm not sure. It depends on the day.
I always find stories that paint immortality as this, you know, thing that you obviously don't really want. You know, if you think you want immortality, you obviously aren't thinking through it. look what I mean, imagine what would really happen if you were immortal. Nobody could possibly want this, blah, blah, blah. I always find those stories exceedingly pessimistic. Like, really? Is that really your view of the world? Because, for example, someone getting bored. How can that happen?
I don't know. We'd find out in a few thousand years.
It's inconceivable to me that you would get bored.
But you're mortal, so...
That's point number one. Point number two. Other people aren't immortal, but you are, and you get tired of losing people. That would be the annoying part, to be sure. But...
Interesting choice of words.
Why?
All my loved ones dying before my eyes is really annoying.
But, you know, human beings do survive losing people. And you will meet more people. And there will be more people as part of your life. And it's once you've cared about somebody and lost them, and as painful as that is, you do get to the point where it feels a lot better to remember them, you know. It doesn't hurt to remember them. It's a pleasant thing. It's it's something that you enjoy thinking about them. And so you could go 100 more years remembering them and being happy about remembering them and not just being sad and depressed and you just can't live without them kind of stuff.
So you're definitely like, sign me up.
No, I'm saying that just about every story I've ever heard that tries to make everyone think that obviously it's a terrible thing that no sensible person would wish for, I don't think they've ever made a credible case. Right. I think they've painted a really kind of a pessimistic and I don't know, not very accurate or uplifting picture of what human beings are like or could be like.
So what would you pick?
Well, you know, it depends on a lot of things.
Uh-huh.
Is it... What kind of immortality are we talking about, you know? Because it's not specific, so it could mean, well, you just get older and older and older, but you just never die.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound fun.
Right now, you're... The age you are, you're physically not going to age any older than this.
Why?
Your body will still function, but it will not age any more than this.
I think I'd prefer to be a little healthier than I am now.
You can get healthier, but your physical age will not change. I mean, you can still lose weight and shit like that, but you know, take better care of yourself. But here's the thing, and here's where it becomes an issue, because
how do I not die? Like, if I try to kill myself, I'll fail?
No, exactly. Like,
and if someone shoots me,
all injuries, even complete atomization, recoalesce and heal in a matter of moments.
Okay.
And you can, because that's the thing. If somebody said, you want to be immortal until you decide to stop, yeah, totally. The only time it becomes interesting is immortal for super serious. Like, you can't die.
Okay.
So you're doing it?
Oh, yeah. No question.
All right.
You're saying you're taking my choice to take my own life away.
Yes. I'm taking your choice to.
But that's a choice I can easily live without.
All right.
Because you're giving me... an eternity of other choices.
Yes.
So that seems like a bargain.
All right.
And again, nobody's ever presented a story that, I mean, to me, they're all kind of lame trying to convince you that you'd be bored or sad. Or
I think you could go insane, but I don't necessarily think that wouldn't still be fun.
Why would you go insane?
I'm not sure the mind could cope with that length of time. Well, there's various ways. I mean, somebody could, you know, bury you in a tomb somewhere and then leave, and you would physically be unable to get out, but you'd still be alive.
Okay.
That's been the plot of some shit before.
I realize that's a very horrible thing, but, you know, I'd say that'd be pretty unlikely. I'm not going
to
go
making
someone
mad
enough to do that.
I do love... Do you remember the Highlander TV show?
I remember there was a Highlander TV show.
I always love that because... That was basically immortality makes you act kind of like a teenager. Everybody on that show was so goddamn immature. And I'm like, so 400 years, you basically start acting like a pissed off 18-year-old.
Well, that's another thing is that, and they do this with vampire stories a lot, where, oh, now I'm immortal, now I'm going to act like a jerk. Well, that doesn't necessarily follow.
No.
I mean, that's not necessarily what a person's
going to
do.
And they have versions that are not like that, too. Just have to add a little bit that I always find hilarious. And this is symptomatic of something I have run into before. But I just, this example is germane, so I'm going to do it here. Be prepared, people, I'm about to talk about porn. Once read a story.
Is this, so you're going to answer this question by telling this story?
No, I already answered it as best I can.
Oh, I didn't get your answer. What?
I don't know.
Oh.
I genuinely have thought about this a lot, and I don't honestly know. And it depends on the day. Some days I'm like, yeah. Some days I'm like, no.
Well, what makes you say no?
Because I'm worried. For the exact opposite side of the coin of why I would want to do it. So much cool shit that I could have by continuing to exist. So many cool things I could experience. Equally possible, so many horrible things I could experience.
Right, but... I mean, you get through horrible things, and then there's cool things on the other side. I mean...
And there's horrible things on the other side of that, too. And...
But that's what life's about.
Yes.
Life's about all those things. It's not
but
just the good things or the bad things.
Yes, but depending on how it goes, if we're talking about true immortality here, I could be the guy who survives the nuclear winter. Like, what if I can't die... A lot of bad shit could happen to me that's way more severe than the bad shit that could happen to me as a mortal person. Because that stuff would just kill me.
Yeah, I get it. But, I mean, using that extreme example, that would be a very dramatic thing, obviously. That would be horrible. I would hate that. But would it... bother me in particular to be someone who survived it all by himself on the planet? Not particularly.
I think it might bother me. I don't like any decisions that permanent. Like, any decision I make now, I could make the world's worst decision that just makes my life a living hell. I'm still guaranteed it's only going to last so long.
But that's always true.
Not necessarily.
Except for the example you just gave of like a nuclear holocaust or some other thing.
Or
like
eventually
asteroid
the
impact.
World... asteroid impact, the sun burns out. Or you're chained underground somewhere. I mean...
Okay, but these are... I don't know. They don't... They're examples that are either unlikely or they could be mitigated some other way, especially if you have plenty of time to think about it or plan for it.
Okay, then. Yeah, I'll be immortal.
Well, I'm just saying.
Well, you're kind of weirdly condescending about
well,
this.
I'm,
like,
I'm
wow,
sorry,
you're
no,
an
no, no.
idiot for
no, no,
thinking
no, no, no,
that.
No, 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 I'm not trying to be condescending.
Well, that's how... I've known you for a long time, and you never are, and this is, like, the first time I really feel like you think I'm an idiot.
No, that's not at all what I'm trying to convey. All
right.
Just
pro tip, avoid the sound, because you made it that several times.
Okay. Go ahead and tell your story.
It's a little awkward now, so I don't think I will. I'm sorry if that hurt your feelings,
it's fine. I wasn't even.
I think there's a type of person. I have another friend who's like that. When I say something that shocks her to a degree, she doesn't realize that the tone that's coming out of her mouth makes it sound like, oh my God, what are you, an idiot? And that's not what she intends, but that's what it sounds like.
No, I don't think anyone's an idiot who has a different opinion about it. I completely understand someone else's opinion that way. I wasn't really getting your point. So it didn't have anything to do with you. I wasn't really expressing any kind of attitude toward you or anything. It was just, I wasn't getting it. And I didn't mean to, in any way I was acting or my facial expression or any sounds I made involuntarily to indicate that I thought you were saying something stupid, because I didn't feel that way or think that way at all. But that's...
I know, and And I'm sorry that that freaks you out, because I should say that I know you don't, because you're you. Anybody else, that's not what I believe, but in your case. And I was snappy about it because it annoyed me, but really the only reason to tell you is to tell you that was the nonverbal cues you were conveying, and I know you don't mean to, so you should watch for those.
That's fine. I understand.
Because I do know that's not what you mean to say. But I feel eternity as too much uncertainty to it. And that is what we're talking about here.
Sure.
I feel that it's possible that the world, that my life, that civilization could go in directions I can't possibly conceive of.
Yes.
And that could be really awesome, could also be really terrible. And so it's a total gamble in my book. And so some days I'm like, I totally want to see that. It could be amazing. And some days I'm like, I totally don't want to do that. It could be terrible.
No, and I totally understand what you're saying, and I agree. What I'm saying is that for me, it doesn't, I mean, I have an eternity to process it. So I figure that whatever it is, good, bad, horrible, whatever, I will, you know, I'll get through it. So it doesn't really matter if it's really awful, if it's really bad, or if it's, you know, the worst case scenario you can give. Obviously I don't want those things to happen, but I'll have all the time I need or want to like work it out. So,
yeah.
I mean, even
but
being,
so is it worth it? That's, I mean,
I guess it would be for me, because like you said, being buried underground or whatever, if I've got a whole eternity to figure out how to be okay with that.
Yes.
And but, so I probably would be, I eventually.
Mean, you've also got a whole eternity to be disappointed by anything cool that happens to you.
But I see, mean, I don't think I would be. I mean, that's just my point. It's like there's always something.
Well, I think you have more faith in your mind, because you keep saying things like, I don't think this would bother me. I don't trust myself to know how it would affect me and what would happen, because I feel like living forever is not something I can genuinely conceive of. And that's often how it seems to come about. And I still think they do it poorly, because if somebody told me live for 2000 years, I'd be like, yeah, sure. You know, it's the difference between immortal. But so often in these things, people say, oh, yeah, I became immortal because I thought it would be awesome. And now I've realized what that really means. And I do honestly think I don't know what it would be like to be immortal. And there's a possibility it could suck in a lot of ways.
I guess.
And it's the ultimate no gives backs. Because, again, there's no way out of it.
Sure.
And it's the only thing that I can conceive of in which there is no way out of it. Any other decision I make, death is still an option. Immortality is literally the only thing. Everything else from I'm going to have chocolate ice cream instead of vanilla ice cream today, to I'm going to try and wipe out everyone in Asia, to, you know, I'm going to cut my own penis off and walk around the neighborhood and see what happens. All of these decisions, no matter how they turn out, I still have death as an option. But something might happen that would just suck so bad that I wouldn't want to live through it, or that I wouldn't consider it worth it to live through, or that I would be sorry to be alive for having to deal with it, that I maybe can't even conceive of. But the one thing I know is in this hypothetical situation we're talking about, too damn bad.
Right.
And that instills in it a sort of powerlessness that I'm not willing, some days I am not willing to accept. Some days I am. Some days I think exactly the way you are talking. Some days I'm like, you know what, just to experience, just like whatever's there, there's also going to be this other stuff. And whatever it is, you can get through it, because there's always another tomorrow, literally.
Yeah, I mean.
And then other days, I think, but also, theoretically, no matter how bad it gets, you can't ever escape it.
Okay. I mean, I guess, theoretically. I mean, I think it for me, it comes down to, I just see time as a limiting factor in everything. Like, if you experience something that's really terrible and you just don't feel like you can make it, it's really just a matter of time for you to stop feeling that way. So, I suppose...
Statistically speaking, you're correct.
I suppose that, in theory, there could be something so horrible that you could just be depressed and hate your existence for all eternity, but it's hard for me to imagine something being that awful.
But let's not even go to that degree. Let's say something so horrible that it only takes you, that it takes you 10,000 years to get over it.
Okay.
So is whatever else happens worth the fact that you had to suffer for 10,000 years?
I don't see why not.
I mean, I don't know what else happened.
Well, exactly. Lots of other things could be happening. 10,000 years isn't very long in context of an eternity. I mean, I don't know.
Well, okay, if we're really going to take it to its logical conclusion, in an eternity, theoretically, everything will happen to you.
Theoretically, sure.
So then isn't it a wash?
I don't know. Maybe.
See, and then it gets weird, because if we're talking... I mean, because if I'm saying, okay, so human civilization rises and falls and I'm still alive, that's one thing. But if we say heat death of the universe and I'm still alive, I'm like, okay, if I go that far, then I'm like, I'm not sure I believe that it's true immortality. Like, theoretically, something at the end of the universe could kill me.
Right, but, I don't know, but even the question, if everything happens to you, isn't it a wash? I mean, it's looking at events in life in a very particular way. You know, there's good events, there's bad events. There's events you like, there's events you don't like. There's, you know, and I don't know, I think the whole thing is a lot more complicated than that. And like you were just saying, so you survive to the death of the universe. Well, does that mean you get to see the birth of another one? That seems pretty cool. I mean,
absolutely.
You know, you can always do that. It seems like you can always, well, what about this? Well, then this. Well, what about this?
Or does
well,
that this? Mean that there's just black and emptiness for the rest of eternity?
You've lived a really long time, so you've probably figured out ways to cope with that and, you know, be able to live with yourself and be okay with that. You know, I mean,
you still have faith in perspective. You probably have ways. Yeah, maybe. Still a gamble. You're not saying, by that point, you definitely could have.
No, that's true. You're right.
And that's the risk, and that's why I'm not certain. Hmm. But on some days, I think, on some days, the line of thinking is pretty much exactly what yours is. But there's too much uncertainty. It's too big a bet. It's in theory is the biggest bet you can make.
It just doesn't seem.
I suppose the only comparable bet you can make is to kill yourself, because that's the other side of it. You're being immortal, you're saying it's definitely going to be worth it that I continue living no matter what. You kill yourself, you're saying it's definitely not going to be worth it that I continue living no matter what.
I do not see those two things as equal and opposite extremes at all.
Really?
Yeah. No, not even close. I can't explain why, but I see your point. It's like, oh.
Yeah, no, it seems to me. Yeah, I can see those. You're either deciding living is always going to be worth it, or living is never going to be worth it.
Yeah, I get that. I get that opposition, but I don't see them as equal, opposite extremes on a continuum or a spectrum or whatever. The deciding that life is always going to be worth it seems like almost like a foregone conclusion. I need to be careful here, because I'm not judging people who feel differently or who, you know, have ended their lives. I mean, that's mm-hmm. their business. But in my mind, those two things are not two sides of the exact same coin.
This might be an interesting thing to hit on, because I have things like this. And how I tend, or how I try to put them out there, is to say, I feel like, for me, this really feels like this is the right thing. And I can't necessarily, I'm not, regardless of the argument, this feels right to me. It's issues of faith. And there are some things that I know you take on faith. But there are some things that I feel like you're kind of taking on faith that you seem to couch as it just makes rational sense.
Well.
And this is one of those things to me, because I totally get what you're saying as a personal belief that somebody has about the value of life.
No, I don't think this is a rational thing. This is just what I think.
Yeah, no, and I don't think you're alone in that.
Well, I don't know if I am or not. It seems like a lot of people are pretty cynical about life and surviving difficult things.
Here's the deal, though. Are you saying you don't think those are opposite choices? Or are you just saying you clearly think that one is the right choice?
No. I'm saying that in my head, I get how you're seeing it. I get the two sides of the same coin concept, absolutely, because I know a lot of things that I do think are like that.
Yeah.
But in my head, it's not like that.
Okay. Do you get why it's not like that in your head? Because if so, I would love it if you would elaborate.
Well, why? Well, I mean,
because and I've been in that situation where I can be like, that's not how it works in my mind, and I can't explain why. I don't know why it doesn't work that way in my mind, but it doesn't.
I mean, that's a complex question, because why could relate to historical reasons or cultural reasons. Like, for one thing, I'm sure that my privileged life makes it relatively easy for me to think of life that way, right? I mean, what have I really suffered in my life? I mean, I've had things happen to me that I think are pretty devastating, but, you know, I've been lived a middle-class American life, a white male, whatever. So, you know, maybe if I'd had, and for most of the time in my life, I haven't realized that a lot of what was given to me freely, you know, isn't given to other people freely.
No, but that addresses why you would choose to keep living. To me, that does not address why you don't feel that choosing to live for eternity and choosing to end your life are not opposing choices.
What I'm saying is it means privileged people sometimes have a kind of optimism because they can. Do you know what I mean?
Yes, absolutely.
So
I understand every sentence you're saying. I'm just not sure it's addressing the question I'm asking you.
Oh, I don't know.
You seem to be continuing to explain why you think, and I hate to go back to old 80s terms, but choosing life is the way to go.
I'm not saying I chose it. I'm saying that perhaps certain cultural influences,
yes,
have set it up so that's the way I think. You know, that's just
what's the way you think
that choosing that it's not the same choice to kill oneself as to accept immortality. Is they're not equivalent. They're not two sides of the same coin.
Okay. In that case, then we have a non-answer there, because I mean, you could say, well, the way I was raised in my society is why I believe it. Okay. Then explain to me how you feel they are not the same, rather than why you feel they are not the same. In what way do you disagree with that premise?
Well, I mean, to put it in terms like you were talking about, in terms of being a bet, I think that it's...
One of them seems more definitive to you than the other?
I don't think it's a bad bet to live forever. I think it's a risky and probably a bad bet to kill yourself. I think...
Well, okay, let's not do the word bad here. Forget the percentage chance of risk.
Okay.
What I am saying here is, regardless of the odds, the stake in question are equal opposites. In one, you are risking that it's going to be awful and you can't do anything about it. In the other, you're risking that it would be good and you won't ever get to experience that because you're gone.
Okay, but I don't think you're risking that first thing. I don't. I think bad things could happen, but I don't think that's relevant.
Oh.
I think for the other person, nothing's going to happen. Absolutely, definitely nothing's going to happen.
So you don't believe in any concept of afterlife?
Not really, no.
Okay.
Oh, was that part of this somehow?
Well, I would think it would factor in.
No.
I mean, I don't either, so.
No, not really. I mean, the, you know,
the Walt Whitman Leaves of Grass shit, yes.
No, I mean,
I always try and shorthand that now, because I'm like, I get it, and I agree with it too, but the whole, you know, our component parts will become other things and can grow things and stuff, but.
The most accurate way I can address what the whole afterlife thing is to say, I think when people die, they're dead. Now, you know, if God, whatever, whoever that is, decides
Mel Brooks
that people are going to live on afterwards somehow, I'm fine with that. But I'm also fine if it's not like that. So I don't have a particular belief in it.
But then doesn't that make it a isn't there a percentages game there? If you die, it might not be the end then?
But it doesn't bother me whether it is or isn't.
But doesn't that factor into what we're talking about here?
Not for me, for some reason. I don't know. It doesn't seem to. I'm not aware of it if it does.
Hmm.
No, it's just a simple, well, one choice, you will experience nothing.
unless there's something after death that God has allowed.
Okay, but somehow in my mind, it's nothing. It's
okay.
Whatever else there is, I'm maybe because I don't know, and I don't. If there is something afterwards, hey, that's cool. If there's not, I won't know the difference. So it's kind of an irrelevant question for me.
Okay.
So if you're asking me, if you're saying, comparing these two things, killing yourself or being immortal, my brain's just going to say, well, this is definitely nothing, but this is something, and a whole eternity of somethings, which in my mind means that it's no matter what happens, you're always going to have an opportunity to work through it. And I guess I have an optimism that you would. So therefore, one thing you risk having nothing, and the other thing you don't really risk anything. I mean, yeah, bad things might happen to you, but good things might happen to you. I mean, it's kind of the same difference. So, and you can always work through it. I mean, see, that's another thing is, what are bad things? What are good things? How do you know if something's bad? You know, I mean, when I think of bad things, I think of having to endure the suffering of a lot of people, because obviously I don't like when people suffer. I don't want people to suffer, and that would be a bad thing for me. But would it be a bad, like, you know, in the eternal cosmic concept of bad, that I just can't deal with it, or I can't cope with it, or I can't do anything about it? You know what I'm saying? You start to, these questions start to go into a space, for me anyway, that are, it's really difficult to answer. It's kind of like you said, you don't know, right? You don't know what's going to happen. There's too many unknowns. But for me, if it's an unknown, that's okay. That's actually good, because that means it can be whatever I want it to be, really.
Feel free to say this is getting too personal if you don't. Have you ever been suicidal? Have you ever had suicidal thoughts?
That's a hard question to answer, because, you know, I've gone through some difficult things where, you know, I'm sure like a lot of people in the middle of the night, I think to myself, if I fell asleep and didn't wake up, that would be fine with me, because I feel terrible. And I want this to stop, you know.
I've thought that was pretty common too, and then I found out over time apparently that's not as common as.
Well, but what I've found that out too. But I've also found out that for people who talk about saying they've been suicidal and they tell me what that's like for them, I have not experienced that.
Well, it's definitely a different level than I'm thinking about actively ending my life.
Well, but
that's a different category.
Let me add some more detail to this, because even while I'm thinking that or feeling that way, I'm also thinking pretty much always and every time in my life this has happened, and it's happened a few times, where I've been really depressed and really didn't know how I was going to go on. There's always that other part of me that's saying, yes, but, you know, 5 years from now, you're not going to feel this way anymore. And it's going to be, you know, you'll have gone through it. You'll have survived it. You maybe are going to be a better person for it. You know, that voice is always there sort of reminding me that, yeah, I do feel this way. And I sincerely do feel like if I didn't wake up in the morning, I'd be better off. And maybe everybody would be. But I also know that if I carry on, you know, like I say, 5 years from now, it's going to be something that happened to me. And I can talk to people about it as something that's back in the past. And there are going to be things that I'm glad I experienced in that 5 year period, you know, in getting over it. And that voice that tells me that, I totally believe what that voice is saying. And in fact, that voice has proven right every single time 5 or 10 years later. So
I always do find this interesting about you, because you are very optimistic and hopeful philosophically and in the hypothetical long term. And in my experience in dealing with you, you are often very much not optimistic in your day-to-day life.
Well, yeah.
You're frequently optimistic that 5 years from now will be better, but you very frequently think next month is going to suck.
Well,
and yes, kind of consistently, because I mean, I know you've gone through some stuff, but even when you haven't, you always seem to sort of have a more pessimistic view of the short run, but you always have a very upbeat and optimistic view of the long run. And I find that an interesting contrast.
Well, I mean, I don't know.
And it means that for a guy that sometimes I want to strangle you because you're so, in my mind, just pig-headedly optimistic. And then other times I want to strangle you because you're being so pig-headedly pessimistic. But they're in completely different ways, because you are quite internally consistent about these viewpoints. It seems to just be issues of scale.
I don't know if I understood anything you just said exactly.
I mean, I have found myself having to try and argue with you that things are not that bad, and then also found myself having to argue with you that things are not that good.
But you're saying
frequently in both cases, and it's the consistency appears to be based on an issue of scale. You seem to be way more optimistic about the further out future than you are about the immediate future.
Well, I mean,
maybe it's because you can see the playing field better. And so it's like, dude, I know what's going on. So I know it's not necessarily.
But like, even when we worked together at Applied,
even then, I mean, it didn't come up. Obviously, it's more noticeable when you're having shitty stuff happening in your life.
Yeah, which,
but just in general. No, but I would say in general, you were less thinking, oh, tomorrow, you were less optimistic about the shit that was going to happen tomorrow or next week than you always were about the stuff that was going to be, the stuff that was, I don't even want to say like specifically 5 years, but you were always going to, that over the next life milestone or whatever, it would be good.
Well, I don't know.
But I think the immortality thing, and where we differ on that, I think you're just way more confident about both answers. You're way more confident about what would happen and what it would mean to choose to be literally alive for eternity. And you're way more confident and way more certain about what it would mean to kill yourself than I am in either case.
I'm not sure I'm confident or certain, but I'm not either of those things, but I feel like I feel like it's okay for me to take a position.
Well, you're confident in what the result would be regardless of what it would happen.
Well,
you're confident that no matter what would happen, it would be okay.
I'm pretty confident, yeah. I guess I am.
And you're pretty confident that if you died, it would not be okay. Or, I mean, it would be a waste.
Well, except that It doesn't seem to matter whether it is or isn't, because there's the possibility that it, I mean, the possibility that it would be a waste, just the possibility that it would be, outweighs the possibility that it wouldn't be, I guess. I don't know. I
feel like this is the thing. There's an underlying productivity issue here. That immortality, something's happening. And death, things have stopped happening. So by definition...
Or could possibly have stopped happening, yeah.
But by definition, they haven't stopped happening if you're still alive.
That's right.
So immortality always guarantees something's going to happen again.
Yes.
And death, whether it be through mortality or through immediate suicide, has the possibility that stuff will stop happening.
That's right. That's right. That doesn't seem worth it.
No, I totally get that, and I understand why we're different, because I'm not sure I care as much about things happening. I don't put the same value on that you do. I definitely put some, but that's, to me, that's where the question lies. Is how much intrinsic value I place in that something's always going to happen. You know, I could say I'm borrowing a little bit from the Buddhists, but I think that's unfair to the Buddhists. As a former Buddhist, I can say that.
Why is that? Why do you think it's unfair?
Because I don't know. I feel like I cheapen the concept of nirvana. I feel like I kind of rejected that years ago, and so for me to say, oh, it could be, I think it's entirely possible that my concerns and my fears and my worries are in a wholly emotional and irrational place. They're still there, and I don't know that I could exercise them, but I don't want to claim that my uncertainty on this issue lies from the possibility that maybe all existence is suffering, and that oblivion would be a cessation to that suffering, whereas immortality, in theory, would be the eternal, consistent suffering.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know that that's fair to say that's why I'm conflicted. It may just be because I'm scared.
Well, it sounds to me like you've got a pretty good rationale for...
For why I can't decide.
Well, for why it might be, you know, a little bit, arrogant perhaps for a person to decide. I mean, you know, maybe it's arrogance on my part that I think that, well, this, I'd rather have something be happening than not be happening. That maybe I overestimate my ability to handle certain things, just like what you're talking about. But I mean, I say that. You know, I say that's a possibility, but that doesn't seem to be what's, for as I look at my own self, that doesn't seem to be what's going on. But of course, when you look at your own self, you don't see all of it. There's blind spots.
Well, but all and over I can't place. I can't find fault with the idea that if you're truly talking about eternity, you should be able to get over and process anything. I mean, that seems pretty rational to me. There is a bit of a. I'm a limited consciousness, and to me this is an unlimited thing, so therefore I can't grasp it, so therefore I can't make that decision. I feel like it borders on a sort of playing God thing, like my psyche is not equipped with enough to take on the responsibility of deciding to live for eternity.
The responsibility?
Yeah. Because I'm then responsible for living for eternity. And I'm not sure I trust that I understand what that means. No matter how detailed the little tiny devil that makes me sign the paper that gives me this power explains it to me.
Yeah, for some reason, whether or not I understand it doesn't seem important. Like, of course I don't understand it. So there's a lot of things I don't understand. I don't understand how my car works, but I drive it. I mean,
okay, no, but I can play that one to you. So what you don't understand is there's a certain quirk about the space-time continuum that when a living being has lived for 100,000 years, they suddenly achieve a state of complete and total torment that their mind can never get out of for the rest of eternity. You didn't know about that because you weren't familiar with the cosmology of eternity.
But you just explained it to me, and I understand it perfectly.
Yeah, but only because I told you, if you weren't told.
Right, but we're talking about things I can't comprehend because they're incomprehensible. Like, you couldn't even give me an example of what I don't understand. That's what we're talking about here. And again,
so if the little dude with the contract tells you that's what happens, you're still like...
Well, no, because that's a whole different thing as far as I'm concerned. Like, you're telling me after 100,000 years, I'm just going to suffer for the rest of the eternity? Well, no, I wouldn't do that. Of course not.
Yes. And what I'm saying is I don't trust my mind to not know that there could be something like that. That's a very concrete example because, again, as you pointed out, it's very hard for me to give an example of something our mind could not understand.
No, right.
But I'm trying to say I can say something that would... I don't feel like I can be aware of all the ramifications that could result from being immortal.
So one of them could be really terrible, like that one.
Could be very terrible and something that could never be relieved.
Or it could be the exact opposite of that. Or absolutely. It could be neither of those things.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
It's just an unknown, which again, to me, is like, oh, okay, well... Then, to me, if it's unknown, I just think that it's just something in my way of thinking about it or looking at it. I'm going to look at it in a more optimistic way and think that odds are better that it's going to be something that I can deal with than it's not going to be something I can't deal with. You know, because it...
And the permanent scares me because anything in the world... I can attempt to say, well, this too shall pass.
Which you'll still be able to say.
Not necessarily. I mean, I could say it, but I could know that it's not true.
Well, I suppose that's another thing, is I've got it locked in my brain that things are always going to change. Things are always going to... Again, do I know that? No. But the conviction that it's true goes pretty deep.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard for me not to think about it that way.
I would risk my life, I would risk my death, and I make very big distinctions there because people always talk about how they would die for somebody, and I think that's a real easy thing to do.
Yeah.
Try dedicating your life to something.
Yeah, that's right.
Anything I would be willing to risk. I under certain circumstances I would be willing to risk on certain beliefs and on certain assumptions and on certain unknowns. But eternity is one that I'm not positive I'm willing to risk. Because it's eternity. Because if you make an eternal mistake, there's no way to come back from it if it's an eternal mistake, because you have to wait till eternity's done. Which is not because it's eternity.
Yeah, I get it. I don't know what an eternal mistake would look like.
Neither do I.
I think such a thing would be really, really hard. But maybe not. I don't know.
This is up there where if somebody told me, do you want to become God?
Yeah, but you're not becoming God.
No,
you're just becoming immortal.
No, but it is of a similar concept. It is a scope outside what I think my mind is capable of understanding. I don't trust that I know what I'm agreeing to.
Well, I don't either. I just...
Well, you trust that you know it well enough that you think it's going to be okay.
Well, I trust that the rules of the game are not any more likely going to be something like eternal torment versus eternal something else. I mean, it's not about what I know or don't know. It's about how I approach what the unknown is. It's unknown. So could it be really awful? Sure. Could it be really great? Sure. Could it be somewhere in between? Sure. So So, I mean, to me, just because I don't know doesn't mean I don't make that choice.
Yeah. To me, that's true in everything that's not eternal. Because I can always be like, well, I'll know better next time. And I like to think that's how I live my life in general. I'm pretty much game for anything. Give it a shot. And it's the same thing. I'm willing to experiment with things that aren't likely to be lethal for the same thing. Like, you know, I'm...
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.